From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
I'm Sean Crawford, news director for NPR Illinois, and welcome to a special edition of State Week. We don't take the show out very often, but this week we're recording in downtown Springfield. We are in the building that houses the historic Lincoln Herndon Law Offices. We're just across the sidewalk from the old state capitol. It is a busy time at the current state house as well. A lot of key issues are on the table. We're going to talk about some of those this week, from recreational marijuana to sports betting to an infrastructure plan to also a state budget. That's the big one. All that and more could come up in the final month of the spring legislative session, and there is, again, plenty to talk about it, so we'll get to it. I do want to introduce our panel. At the far end of the table is Charlie Wheeler, a longtime journalist who now directs the public affairs reporting program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Also with us, we have Daisy Contreras, State House reporter, Brian Mackey, a State House editor, and our guest this week, Hannah Meisel. She's with the Daily Line. That's an online reporting service. She follows state government and politics. And Hannah was also an intern with NPR Illinois just a few short years ago. It's good to have her back with us. And Hannah, always good to see you.
I'm glad to be here.
So again, one of the issues I didn't mention at the start there was that the governor is making a push for a graduated income tax, something that probably will not affect the budget, of course, this year. Brian, the Senate did take this up this week and was able to pass it out.
Yeah, not a big surprise. The Senate is a supermajority Democratic, and that's exactly how they passed this. It was only Democratic votes in favor of the big constitutional amendment that still has to get through the Illinois House, and then ultimately voters will have the final say. In November 2020, they will get to decide, are we going to change the Illinois Constitution to remove the limitation that we can only have a flat income tax, where everybody pays the same rate, whether you're making $10,000 a year or $10 million a year. Instead, and the Senate also passed legislation that would institute a graduated rate structure, so people who make more than $250,000 would see a tax increase under that plan, a slight tax decrease for people who make less than $250,000.
Charlie, we've talked before. You've written extensively about the idea of a graduated income tax. You covered the Constitutional Convention in 1970, where the Constitution specifically has a flat tax in it, and so that would require a constitutional change, as Brian mentioned. Why did the state do it that way, and why hasn't it been changed since?
I suspect one of the reasons that the Constitution's revenue article says a flat rate tax and it limits the differential between corporate and individual to no more than 8-5. And I think, as much as anything else, it embodied what the existing law was at the time. In 1969, Governor Ogilvie proposed that Illinois have an income tax, the first one ever. And we had attempted in the early 30s, at the time of the Depression, to put through a graduated income tax, and the Illinois Supreme Court threw it out, saying that under the 1870 Constitution, you could not have an income tax, and certainly not a graduated income tax. Well, Ogilvie proposed, and the legislature ultimately adopted, an income tax plan 50 years ago now, and it included a flat rate with the differential. Individuals were at 2.5%, corporations were at 4%. And so the Constitutional Convention, in essence, wrote that structure into the law. One of the concerns of the delegates was they didn't want to do anything too dramatic, in the sense that it had to win voter approval. And there had been an attempt to rewrite the century-old Constitution back in the 20s, and it failed. Voters rejected it because there were things in there that struck people as going too far. So they were always conscious of how can we put something forward that voters will accept, and more importantly, that the Republican Party, led by Richard Ogilvie, will accept, and the Democratic Party, led by Mayor Richard J. Daley, will accept. And so they, as I say, they just codified in the Constitution what the existing law was at the time.
Well, I mentioned that this won't impact the budget this year, but in some ways I guess it will, because Governor Pritzker has talked about, I guess you would call it, Brian, a make-do budget for a couple of years until this gets approved, if it does get approved?
Yeah, he calls it a bridge. real questions about whether he can balance the budget, whether even all the things that he has proposed he can do to balance the budget, like starting up sports betting in the state and getting some revenue from licenses for that, legalizing cannabis and getting some revenue from licenses, not necessarily actually taxing the marijuana. He doesn't anticipate that that would be sold, but I mean, that has to pass, that has to get through the legislature, and it gives him an excuse to not, some would say, Republicans would certainly say, to not make difficult choices about this year's budget, because he can say, well, we're just kind of using scotch tape and bent coat hangers to get us through until we can actually have this graduated income tax and bring in more revenue to state government.
And while that happens, Governor Pritzker has been, you know, using as many opportunities as possible as he can to sell his idea of the graduated income tax. The same day that the Senate voted on this constitutional amendment, he was talking to business leaders here in town, the Illinois Manufacturers Association, the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, on like, hey, you know, the previous administration left our state in a dire, what he calls in a dire condition situation. So this is one the best way for us to get out of that hole. And the business leaders are not for a graduated income tax. They say it's going to be very difficult for them to get their businesses stronger and get jobs here in the state. But the governor keeps pushing for it.
Hannah, let me get your thoughts on this. The graduated income tax, is it going to get through the legislature this year? It got through the Senate, still has to go through the House.
Right. It's definitely a harder push in the House. But it's also, I mean, yesterday in the Senate, we saw a vote on actually four different things. So we saw a vote on the constitutional amendment that would go in and change, you know, the constitutional language that prohibits a graduated income tax. But then there were three supplementary bills, and one was actually the rates that they're not the same rates that the Pritzker administration had pushed in March, but they are they're slightly altered. We can get that to that later, but you know, we saw four people who voted for the idea of a constitutional amendment for a graduated tax did not vote on the rates. Three pretty, you know, Democrats in sensitive districts voted no, and then we had one freshman Democrat not vote at all.
That tells me then that maybe this isn't a slam dunk after all. If people are concerned about voting for it and it still has to get 60% approval from voters in 2020, that's not a done deal either, right?
Well, right. I mean, we're seeing all of the coalition of interest groups, you know, business backers, also, you know, conservative libertarian leaning think tanks. They are coalescing around this. They are spending a lot of money. This is going to be the fight of, I mean, the fight over the next 18 months, and then it'll also run into another election. And so they're treating it as a campaign. They're spending money as if it's a campaign. They're employing campaign technology. This is not going to be, reaching 60%, that's difficult. And I'm hearing it all the time in my reporting. Colorado tried a similar ballot item, and they had a lower threshold. I believe they had 50%, and they couldn't even reach that.
Then again, I would say there is going to be money on the other side, right?
Obviously,
Governor Pritzker is a billionaire, and he has some allies who have created their own front groups to do advertising on this sort of thing. One of them is called Think Big, which was one of his taglines he used in his campaign advertising. And there's been polling that shows that the idea, at least the abstract idea, not this specific policy, but the abstract idea of having wealthy people pay more, a higher tax rate than people farther, you know, down the income ladder, that's popular, even among Republicans, although that support has been softening in the polls. But it still was over, 78% in a poll that the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute has done. And that number has stayed pretty consistent over the years. Of course, you know, as this issue gains salience, people are going to think about it more. As Hannah said, this advertising is going to ramp up. Daisy talked to the members of the business community who have real concerns about this. Those numbers will soften, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
And I forgot to mention, too, with the business leaders, Pritzker saying, hey, you know, you need to support this. Meanwhile, I'm going to be able to help you get money for, you know, training for a better workforce. I'll do all of these things for you that we both can agree on. You just need to support this to help the state get out of its financial hole.
Well, let's move on to some other topics. One of those that came up this week, pretty scary situation for a lot of folks. Brian, death threats, I guess you would say. It was a little vague in the letter, but it was a letter that was written and sent out to lawmakers, others. In fact, a public media outlet also received one, the one in Urbana. What was this about? What was included in this, and what's going on now?
Yeah, I'm looking at an image of it here on my computer screen. It says in huge letters at the top, "Dead people can't collect fat state pensions. Dear elected representative, public employee union leader, public employee in the state of Illinois, and bondholders in the United States." And it goes on to list a long grouping of complaints about state pensions, mostly. And then, as you said, a frightening situation. It says about halfway down the letter, "Don't bother about new gun laws. From arson to strangulation, there are many other effective means available." And so this went to individual legislators. It went to some unions. As you said, it went to our sister station over in Urbana. And the state police are reportedly investigating. The U.S. Postal Service is investigating. I'll say the letter does show somebody, and some other reporting I've seen, Rich Miller from Capital Facts did some reporting on this, that some of the lawmakers found that the letters came from specific donors, people who have donated to their campaigns. At least that was the address put on there, the presumably fake address. Some of them came from people who are deceased. I believe the letter that went to that public radio station was from Dawn Clark Netsch, a former state office holder who died a number of years ago. This is somebody who has some knowledge of state government, it seems, but a frightening situation.
And Hannah, what's been the reaction in the legislature to this? I'm assuming got people a little bit concerned.
Anytime that anyone threatens, I mean, this is particularly brazen in the way that they've done it. We've had situations over the last few years, like Capitol lockdowns, on the day in 2017 in July when the budget stalemate was finally broken with, votes for a budget that would also up the income tax. I mean, we had a full lockdown situation for 2 hours. It's just something, it's a sad reality of being part of public service and public life these days. And it's scary, and it gives people just that much more pause before they, vote on something really consequential.
And Charlie, lawmakers are used to getting hate mail at times, I would say. These go a little bit beyond that.
I think to me the frightening thing was what Brian mentioned, that whoever did this went to a lot of effort to find out return addresses for donors, to go to the trouble of looking up who donated to Charlie Wheeler. Okay, I'll put this person's return address on this letter I send to him. And they were very specific for each recipient of this letter, unlike just some broadside that somebody scrawled out and threw out there. And as I say, that to me is the frightening thing. There was a lot of thought, a lot of effort behind this. And the letter, if you read it, the person does have some understanding about how state pension work, how the legal code is set up. So it wasn't some drunk guy in his basement.
And our education reporter, Dusty Rhodes, actually wrote a story earlier this week on how public school teachers are not exempt from the letter either. I think it's specified in the threat. And so she interviewed Kathy Griffin, president of the state's largest teachers union, who said she was more concerned about the person who wrote these things to get some mental help, and hopefully they figure out who it is.
And the investigation, I believe, is underway, and I think I saw the FBI is involved, and U.S. Postal Service, others, so we'll see how that goes. Ryan, I think you wanted to answer.
Maybe we should just add, for full disclosure's sake, everyone except Hannah on this panel is one of the people who will be collecting a state pension, and thus presumably included in this person's anger.
I did not get a letter, I can honestly say that. Let me move on to some issues that I think I talked about at the beginning are going to be at least debated and likely come up for votes here over the next couple of weeks. One of those, DAISY, cannabis legislation, recreational use of cannabis in the state of Illinois. We already have a medical marijuana program. This would take it another step further.
Yes, so we're still waiting to see final language on a recreational marijuana bill. We've been hearing for months that it's going to happen anytime, sometime soon. I feel, and from some of the reporting that our colleague Jacqueline Driscoll has been doing, negotiations have been happening. There are still a lot of groups that are opposing this, so they want to make sure that they cross every T and every, you know, dot every I to make sure before they continue with this forward. And, you know, we mentioned this earlier, the governor is expecting, he's counting on some money from licensing fees, not just with recreational marijuana, but with sports betting. So I think a lot of the lawmakers that are involved in this, they feel that pressure building up as we near the end of session to make sure that they're living up to what the governor wants from them.
And so the governor is counting on this money in his budget plan, Hannah, and I'm guessing he's working behind the scenes to try to make sure both sports betting and marijuana are able to get through. But is he facing some resistance?
I mean, yeah, we saw earlier this session, Democratic State Rep Marty Moylan from Des Plaines, he got together 60 backers to a resolution to say, let's slow down marijuana legislation. We don't need it right away. We've got to think clearly. But also, the Black Caucus is, you know, they have concerns. They don't want to be shut out because it's the very, you know, the scars of the drug war of the 80s and 90s still affect the Black and Latino communities because they're the ones who have been put in jail over, you know, minor possession or distribution charges, you know, at a rate that's way, way higher than, you know, white folks. And so they want to make sure that they are going to benefit from a reversal of that.
And by benefit, you mean in the business sense?
In the business sense, but also, you know, make sure that expungement of some records happens. And that's also, you know, I think you guys had done a story a couple weeks ago, that's not just waving a magic wand. It takes a lot of effort.
And Brian, what are you hearing on it? Are you hearing that, you know, a lot of this goes on behind the scenes? I think that's something people may not realize, is that a lot of this is hammered out often with working groups, just a few lawmakers, maybe from each individual caucus, and the governor's office. And is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, what everything I know about this, I've learned from our colleague Jacqueline Driscoll, who's been doing a great job covering this spring. But I think we've covered most of the big sticking points. You know, it's this idea of home grow. How much should people be able to grow it in their homes? Some of the other sticking points are, there's really, law enforcement says there's no good way to test for impaired marijuana driving right now that'll hold up in court, at least. And so they have concerns about that. As Hannah mentioned, the idea of expungement and criminal justice, and really trying to bring justice to people who have been jailed or imprisoned in the past for marijuana offenses. These are all sticking points. We keep hearing, oh, it's going to be soon. It's kind of, that bill's coming. It's going to be, I mean, last I'd heard previously that today was going to be the day it was introduced. We're taping this on Thursday. And now apparently, as I was talking to Jacqueline this morning, that is not the case.
Wednesday, actually, Kelly Cassidy, one of the lead sponsors on this legislation, said, you know, the business leaders, she was at a panel with business leaders, and they asked her, so when do we expect to see something concrete that we can actually look at? And she just said, pretty soon.
And it won't be the final version, most likely, because again, negotiations will continue. But Charlie, this is something that's, of course, been talked about for a long time in Illinois. We're getting to that point, that crunch time. Is there a chance in your mind that this is not going to happen?
Oh, there's always a chance. I mean, the asteroid could strike the Earth.
Is that what it's going to take, though?
Yeah, I think I would guess from watching this stuff for a long time that it's going to happen. Yeah, there are opponents, but you have to remember, if we do it before May 31st, you only need 60 votes in the House, you only need 30 votes in the Senate. It's not like the constitutional amendment, which required the additional votes, the 36 at least in the Senate, 71 and it's going to take in the House. And so there's room for people to disagree and peel off as long as you get the 60. If you pass it with 70, it's not any more passed than if you pass it with 60. So I think the sponsors are working to cobble together some kind of an agreement, some kind of a negotiated legislative bill that will satisfy 60 people. And I think Representative Moylan was kind of being not quite honest when he talked about how we're rushing this. This legislation, people have talked about this for years. Bills were introduced in the last General Assembly specifically to start the discussion on specific language by Staines and Cassidy. They had hearings all across the state over the summer. They've taken input from everybody. So this is not something that suddenly is cooked up and is going to be sprung on people.
Well, speaking of that, springing things on people, we may have another big one, as you mentioned a moment ago, Daisy, and that's sports betting. This would allow people to, I guess, bypass your bookie, if you, any of you have one still. You could basically bet through, we think it may actually even be on your phone, but there's a possibility it may, you may have to go someplace to do it. But there's more money tied up in this idea than there actually is in marijuana, correct?
With the initial licensing fees, yes. So that's what Governor Pritzker's counting on right now, $10 million, I believe, per licensing fee for 20 licenses. It's still unclear if that's what lawmakers are going to go for with the 20 or if they're going to have more or less. And yes, mobile betting is one of the options that they really want to push for. I've been speaking to different people from other states where sports betting has already been legalized or where their lawmakers have already drafted a bill and sent it to their governor on sports betting. And they said, you know, and they've told me, you know, mobile betting is the way to go if you want to reap the benefits, the money that people have been talking about that this can actually get us. Other states, we've been seeing a lot of articles in the last few weeks where some states had an estimate that they were going to get so much money out of this, and a few months later into the sports betting platform, and they realized that they haven't been getting what they expected. And I think it's because to sell this idea, people have overestimated the amount of money that could come in. So if we don't do that, then it's moving forward and some money can come out of it because it's being regulated.
Representative Mike Zaleski, who's behind this, I thought his approach was kind of different than usual. He put out like four different versions for debate and discussion. So we're talking about marijuana. We really haven't seen the language yet. He's got four different sets. And some of them don't allow online or phone betting. Others do. One of them that the Pro Sports League are pushing is you know, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, they want a piece of the pie. That one's not going to fly, I don't think.
Despite the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf, the White Sox owner, nonetheless, was in spring, he was in Springfield this week with Horace Grant, former Bull, and Ozzie Guillen, the coach of the world champion Chicago White Sox.
That was going to be my note from the field because.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So you have all these different options. And the one thing that people seem pretty clear on is you can't just limit it to brick and mortar. Because like the racetracks say, oh yeah, we should have it, but you could only do it at our track or at our off-track betting parlor. If you want to make money on it, you have to do it where you can do it by your phone. Just the way it is today, although it's illegal, you can call on your phone, get your bookie, and put a bet down on anything.
You can buy your lottery tickets through the phone now, so yeah. Probably making it similar. Just a couple of minutes here left. Hannah, let me ask you, another big key issue is what's known as a capital program, a statewide infrastructure program. Negotiations also going on this. Some of that could be tied probably into these other votes. If somebody needs a vote for sports betting, for example, maybe there's going to be a project in there that will benefit their district suddenly. Those types of things, those negotiations are still happening.
Well, right. I think there's been a lot of actual frustration that the capital plan, which is, you know, we only do one every 10 years or so, and it's a big deal, and we're on that 10-year mark, and former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, he was in Chicago earlier this week testifying. And he literally said Illinois is one big pothole. And he says the way to go is for Illinois to raise the gas tax. But I mean, that's a hard sell. Illinois, like, it hasn't been raised since 1990. I was born in 1991. So my entire life, it's been 19 cents. And so there have been two proposals that have been put forward in the last month or so. Operating Engineers Union, Local 150, they are big power players in Illinois politics. They put forth their own capital plan earlier in April, and then the Chamber of Commerce put forth their own. And I'm hearing that one might be released this week two from the House, but it's not certain. But those projects are wanted. They're bipartisan. They're easy to sell. Harder to sell, of course, is how are you going to pay for it? But these things have to be tied together in order for, you know, session to be viewed as a successful one, because you want your, you know, vegetables before dessert.
Real quick.
And like everything else in state government, it's very complicated. So this is what we've been talking about, are these so-called horizontal projects, right? Roads, bridges. But there are people who want vertical projects, buildings, colleges, community colleges, state universities, even hospitals want a piece. Our colleague Mary Hansen was at a news conference with them this week, and they want millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for vertical construction as well as road construction. And it's not clear that with the constitutional amendment that the voters of Illinois approved in their wisdom that restricts any transportation tax money to transportation purposes, whether you can use that to build a building on a college campus. So you're going to need revenue other than the gas tax. So even if people were able to get on board with that unpopular idea, you still have to find other money elsewhere.
All right, let's go to our notes from the field. Daisy, let's start with you.
As of this week, the hemp applications to grow hemp, industrial hemp, was opened online. And as of Wednesday evening, 300 applications have been submitted and about 100 have been approved. A personal note or story from my colleague, Jacqueline Driscoll. She has a friend farmer who applied at 10 a.m. the morning of the application's going live, and he was approved by 3 p.m. So I think it's moving. I think the state anticipated that this was going to happen, that there was a lot of interest in this. So I think they're moving forward.
Not just corn and beans in Illinois anymore. So Charlie?
Well, Professor Fred Garrett's over at the University of Illinois, the Institute of Government and Public Affairs, compiles the Flash Index every month, which is a measurement of how Illinois' economy is doing. And the most recent one shows that our Flash Index moved up to 105.6 in April, which is 0.2 of a height of a point higher than it was in March. And anytime it's above 100, it shows the economy is still growing, not as fast as we might like, but there's kind of been a steady growth over the last couple of years.
Okay. Hannah?
Well, as we mentioned, a bunch of sports teams owners were in Springfield yesterday. And as a matter of fact, after the big votes on all everything progressive tax related, Senate President John Cullerton introduced them and he said, "I think we just raised your taxes." Because they are definitely the richest people.
And Brian.
Yeah, one, speaking of that, those tax votes, one of the bills we did not mention involved the estate tax, which people who oppose it have branded the death tax. In Illinois, the state estate tax, if you die with $4 million or more in assets, the state takes 40% of that. So the Democrats, sort of as a olive branch maybe to the wealthy in this state and to farmers who are affected by this, they voted to repeal the estate tax in the coming years, which led to the weird prospect of Republicans who have long advocated for eliminating the so-called death tax, voting against the bill that would do it because they didn't want to have anything to do with the Democrats' overall tax package.
Well, that's going to do it for our show today. And the members of our broadcast included Charlie Wheeler, Brian Mackey, Daisy Contreras, and Hannah Meisel. And again, thanks to the Lincoln Herndon Law Office's State Historic Site for hosting us this week. You can get a podcast of our show. It's at nprillinois.org, and also find us on NPR One. Just look for State Week. Production assistance for the program provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.